My name is Brenda Meckley, and I want to share with you a passage from Romans 8, starting in verse 20, where God says, "For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected himself in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But what hope is it? But hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And I just want to share with you a couple of ways that God has taught me these truths in the past few years. And he'll teach you, or has taught you in different ways, I know, but the truths are the same. And so just two ways that he has taught me. First of all, just this past month, I graduated with my degree in nutrition and dietetics, and I began a career right now as a wellness dietitian. So my work week is spent literally talking to people about how to help their bodies groan less, as this passage would say, through nutrition, eating better, to feel better. And so many people, I feel like they come in and they feel like their lives are falling apart. And it's like, if I can just get my health under control, everything will be good. You know, if I just exercise right and I eat right, then everything will be good. And it's very easy for me to fall into that same way of thinking as well. And I've tried to live that way. I've tried to do everything just right, get the right exercise regimen, eat from all the right food groups, and I think, I'll feel better, and everything's going to be good if I do that. But it's not. That's not our hope. It's a wonderful way to serve God by taking care of the tool he has given us in our bodies. But it's a rotten hope in itself. I am so glad that we have our hope in Christ. It doesn't matter what I do, that Christ is my hope. And regardless, I have a hope of heaven with him, of a glorified body that will never get sick, that will never feel achy. That is my hope. Second way that God has taught me has been through sickness, not my own, but almost 3 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with an aggressive form of cancer. And if there's anything that's gonna hit me, it's gonna be hitting my mom. But God allowed me at that time to be home from school. I was home for the semester, and as a family, we got the news, and what a joy it was to be able to go into my room and reflect on the hope that Christ has given me when everything is going bad, as it seems. When the rug gets pulled out from underneath you and you have that bedrock foundation still. There were hard days, and I'm glad to say now that her cancer's in remission, she's cancer-free, and it's wonderful. But that wasn't our hope. It never was. We love medical technology, very thankful for it, but our hope is in Christ. And whether she lived or died, we knew that our hope was a better future. And through Mom's cancer, she got to know another lady in our church, Julie Satterwhite, who was going through the same kind of cancer at the same time. And Julie's never went into remission. And as many of you know, she passed away at the beginning of December. We got to know Julie well, Mom especially, but during the last week and a half before she passed away, she got to live with us. And I got to see the hope that Christ gives of that glory. Every time, literally, I think there was once when Julie went to the oncologist and received a report that the cancer wasn't spreading as much. Literally every single time during her 2.5 years of knowing that she had cancer, every time she went to the oncologist, it was a quote-unquote bad report. And through Julie and through Mom, I learned that those bad reports aren't bad. We naturally look at any step closer to death as a bad step. And it's painful, yes, but it's very good. I got to learn that our hope is in our life after death. It's our glorification, and it's unseen, like the passage talks about. That's what makes it scary. We can't talk to anybody who's actually been through death, but we realize that death is just the final hurdle to our real hope, our final glorification. It's just that final wall that we have to get over. And it was glorious to be able to know that Julie's now experiencing that hope that we are still looking forward to. She's had it for 3.5 weeks now. And just this week, God reminded me of it again. Maybe some of you are also reading through the Bible this year. And so we've already made it through our first genealogy. Genesis 3, we start going through there, and lifespans were long. We read so-and-so lived for 912 years, so-and-so 800 and something. And then we get to Enoch, the man who walked with God and the man with whom God was pleased. And he lived 380-something years, I believe it was. So in those days, he actually had his life cut short. But it was a good thing. That was the man with whom God was pleased, and he walked with God, and God took him because God was pleased with him. Death is not a bad thing. The bad reports that the doctors offer aren't a bad thing because we have such a better hope. We can't see it yet, but I am so glad for it, and I'm so glad that God has taught me so much of what his hope is and that glorious future that we have.